I've always been fascinated by towns and cities across the U.S. that end up being a destination for many refugees from the same country. This next story comes from such a place, and not too far from us here in Boston, Lowell, Massachusetts. A lot of Cambodian refugees have settled there, many of them survivors of the genocide carried out by the Khmer Rouge in the late 1970s. More than 1.5 million people died in that genocide, and among the people targeted were a large number of Cambodian artists and musicians. Their art mostly disappeared, but now public schools in Lowell are teaching kids about traditional Cambodian music. And for one boy named Maddox, that all led to a surprising discovery. Here's Heidi Shin with an excerpt from her podcast, The New American Songbook.
9-year-old Maddox is an amazing dancer. He's been learning about Cambodian music and dance at his public school in Lowell, Massachusetts, north of Boston. Maddox's biggest fan when it comes to Cambodian dancing is his grandmother. Her name is Lichia, or as Maddox likes to call her, Lichi. And yes, Maddox tells me, she's just as sweet as the fruit.
Who I'm sitting next to is my grandmother. Hi. Why don't you say hi?
Hi.
How old is your grandmother?
57 now.
57 years old. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Here, I'm gonna
Maddox lives in a one-bedroom apartment with his grandparents, his mom, and his three brothers, plus an aunt and uncle, and their baby. The day I visit, his grandmother sits on the floor with a cutting board, chopping leafy greens and spices for a Cambodian stew. Maddox picks up the remote and searches for Cambodian music videos. He fashions himself a traditional costume using bedsheets and blankets and practices his dance moves in front of the TV. Behind him, the windowsill is lined with potted plants and rows of prescription medicines.
What are these over here?
Those are my grandma's medicines that she takes. The big bottle she takes for naps. The white bottle right there, that's her allergy, so whenever she goes somewhere, she has to take that.
There are too many containers to count. Lichi's not sure what's wrong with her. She asks me to read the labels and explain, but I can't decipher them either. What we do know is this. Around 3 p.m. each day, she starts to feel dizzy and needs to lie down. And sometimes she starts to cry.
And then whenever she came, she would always cry. She was like, help me, help me. She wants to scream for her mom and dad, but they're like, they passed away. So I feel bad for her.
Like just when she's awake or when she's sleeping?
When she's awake, she cries because she doesn't know what's going to happen to her life. So I give her her medicine. She takes it, and then she kind of feels better. But in the afternoon, it it bothers her again. So
these are classic symptoms of PTSD. Later, Lichi tells me she has nightmares when she sleeps about the day the Khmer Rouge came for her parents and took them away. She was just a teenager then. Maddox often goes with his grandmother on her doctor's visits so he can help translate. But he's just a kid, so he doesn't always understand what's going on. And he's not totally fluent in Khmer, so he uses an app to translate the words he doesn't know. He pulls out his phone to show me. We meet again a few days later, outside Maddox's school, where his grandmother waits to pick him up in the afternoon. Typically around this time, she's in pain. But on this particular day, she's feeling better. She's excited about being interviewed.
Like sometimes when she comes pick me up from school, she can't like walk, she's like limping. And then after that, when I saw her today, she was standing up straight and I was happy.
On the way home, I decide to tell Maddox something I learned earlier in the day. It's some pretty surprising news. As it turns out, Maddox isn't the only dancer in his family. His great-grandfather? He was a famous dancer for an opera troupe in Cambodia. And his grandmother, Lichi? She was a dancer, too.
He dances? Ma Aram?
You are.
Wow. I'm so happy. I take care of her, and she dances. I'm like, I feel so happy that she's like me when she was little.
He loves you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, be happy.
We move to a quiet place so they can talk. This is the first time Maddox hears this part of his grandmother's story, but they struggle to communicate because of the language.
When Matt, 17, did in Matt and Yum Dung. How do you feel? How do like Matt feel like when okay. when Matt Rum and Yum Rum?
I don't really understand.
You don't really understand? Oh, what are you trying to ask her?
I'm trying to ask her that, Ma, when you're rum, how do Ma feel like? Ma feel like, like she feels happy.
It's clear there's more that both sides want to say, but they don't have the words they need.
Anything else you want to ask her?
No.
That's it.
Later, Lishi tells me that her father, the opera troupe dancer, he died in one of the labor camps in Cambodia. She was taken in by a foster family, and her new father, he forbid her from dancing. Lishi told me another story. One summer, they took Maddox camping to a campsite filled with Cambodian-American families. As the sun set, they started a bonfire and played Cambodian classics on the iPad. Maddox stood up and began dancing. His figure was silhouetted by the fire.
They were all cheering and clapping, and I just felt so happy. That was my most wonderful time of life.
I heard there's a campfire. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It was like I was dancing all around it.
Mm-hmm. You know what people said about you?
Well, I know my my dad's friend, they were like, yay!
Because Maddox was so unusually talented, the elders at the campsite thought he had been reincarnated, that he might be an artist or a musician lost to Cambodia's genocide, who would come back in the form of a 9-year-old boy. Maddox is delighted to hear this, that maybe a part of his great-grandfather lives on, in him. For The World, Heidi Shin, Lowell, Massachusetts.
Wow, what a sweet story. An excerpt there from the podcast, The New American Songbook, about immigrant musicians. It's produced by Heidi Shin and Ian Koss, with support from our partners here at WGBH, The Ground Truth Project, and from Mass Humanities.